Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so today had a pretty good day. Ended up being able to get out of town for a little while, to Rochester, where I broadcast from, and got to spend some time with my mom, which is always nice. Sweet woman. And anyway, it was a fairly good day. Got to finally see some sunshine, which we don't tend to get a whole lot of around here. And it was still pretty cold because we do have winter here, but you always want to have a breakthrough of some kind and have more sunshine than this and more warmth. But I guess if I really want to have something like that, I need to move down south, would be my guess. Upstate New York, you can't anticipate any warmth until maybe July, and then the cold comes back in September. Half kidding, but sometimes it's not that far of a stretch. So anyway, hope you folks are all doing well today. Today is Sunday, 6th of March, 2016. And a lot of things to talk about. Saw that Nancy Reagan died. That's a pretty sad note. She was 94, I guess, and she was always seemed like a pretty decent, very decent person. We'll get into the conversation about presidents, my thoughts about Reagan, pretty much all presidents, at least the contemporary ones in my lifetime. I'll chat about those. But that's a sad day, but 94 is a pretty healthy old age. And it's always sad to see somebody pass away who's made such contributions to people and this country. Anyway, I'll move on here. I saw another story recently where people are equating Donald Trump to Hitler, which is a very interesting comparison somehow. I mean, it doesn't work for me. And I happen to like Donald Trump. I don't know if I'll vote for him, but I do like Donald Trump. And there are the reasons why, not the least of which, he's a pioneer of sorts, I guess. He's the only one in the field who really talks about making a difference. And you can follow anybody you think is your candidate. Pretty much all of them toe the corporate line. They all get money from corporations. They're all status quo people, regardless of what you might think, what they might say. And that gets back to a very interesting point I'll be repeating quite a bit, that the politicians lie. And that's just the way it is. Pretty much all of them. And I'll go back to days of when Obama was stumping for president, and he, if any of you out there remember when he talked about his 27 things he would accomplish. I think it was 27, it was either 27, 28, somewhere in there, that he promised that he would accomplish in his first year of presidency. And he promised, for example, to close Guantanamo Bay Prison, which he didn't. He promised to get us out of the wars in the Middle East, which he didn't. As a matter of fact, not only did he not get us out of the Middle East, he's expanded the wars and is responsible for the killing and maiming of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people across the planet. And George Bush did the same thing. And Clinton did the same thing in the Kosovo War. These people are warmongers. They are absolutely insane in my estimation. I'll talk a lot more about that, but this is somewhat of an intro radio show. I think this is the first one I'll truly put online as far as an archive. And my name's Dan Cherry. I live near Rochester, New York. As my descriptions of my shows will attest, I am, one, non-political. I am not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I am not liberal. I might steer toward a bit conservative, but that's more in the way of monetary policy and that kind of thing. And I don't see anything wrong with being a conservative, regardless of what conservatism you practice might be, whether it's money or laws or whatever. I am also not politically correct, as I mentioned in my show descriptions. I will swear at times very liberally. I will let out some profanity-laced diatribes. It's just part of my nature. I don't understand the idea of shutting down free speech, so I do feel maybe even the need to speak the way I want to, because we have to prevent this present regime, this dictatorship that's running this country at this point. They're trying to shut down our First Amendment, Second Amendment rights, among others. These people are pretty awful, really. And I know there are going to be an awful lot of people out there who swear by Obama and think Hillary's great. These people are absolutely insane. You have to be. There's got to be something wrong with you. And I know that I'm going to have people who are not going to like me very much because of things that I say like that. But that's the way it is, and we do still have free speech in this country, although it may go away soon enough, especially if Hillary Clinton gets into office. It was reported that she was looking to make it illegal to make fun of her on the internet, for example. This is going back a couple months. There are people who are giving her a hard time, and I believe Alex Jones at InfoWars had put out put together a competition to make fun of Hillary. And she didn't like that very much, so she went out of her way to try to figure out how to prevent anybody from making fun of her. So here I sit. I'm a very aware guy. I say what I want. And early on in my formative radio days, weeks, months, I will probably not entertain having people call in and being able to engage in conversation. I'm learning how to go about doing a radio show, which is really not all that difficult, but the takes a bit to get used to the system here, how to screen callers and how to check your volume and just getting comfortable and feeling comfortable. I'm not even looking at my computer screen at this point, so I pretty much have to assume I don't have anybody listening to my program at the present, which makes it very comfortable for me. I don't know that I would be nervous or whatever anyway, but I'm not at all. I'm actually very excited to be able to have this opportunity, to have this kind of a technology available to be able to speak my mind. And my mind exists in a place that I think makes an awful lot more sense than in most other people's spaces. There's an awful lot of insanity going on in the world right now, in my estimation. And it's very problematic. It's very troubling. It's probably on par to be, it'll be on par, or it is on par, I guess I should say, really, to probably affect the complete downfall of this country. Other big countries and have been taken down. You can even empires. You can look at the Romans, the Greeks, an awful lot there. And I've read a bit about how those empires ended up being taken down. I don't know a whole lot about it. I can't profess to really know a whole lot, but there are similarities to what's going on in our culture. Sexual promiscuity, for example. And you can look at even just the different systems that existed, kingdoms and that in the past, with especially in Europe, with kings and queens who would take everything, who lavished wealth and gold and diamonds and power and control and such things, and they would treat the smaller people like shit. And you can look at the French Revolution, for example, which was the overthrow of the French government that had put their poor people in such a position. Again, I don't profess to know a whole lot about the French Revolution, but I did pay attention when I was in school. I don't know how many of you folks did or are presently. But definitely there's a divide going on as far as the knowledge level. Somehow the remembering of historical events. And I know Common Core and such teaching systems, schooling systems, are removing tremendous amounts of real historical information. They are making our forefathers, who forged ahead and created the United States as a constitutional republic, and they're calling them terrorists, these people in the schools. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about my perspective of an awful lot of things over the course of these radio shows. I've got, I think, a very unique outlook on an awful lot of things. I don't listen to other people. I don't believe a whole lot that I see in the news. And I don't think anybody really should just believe what they're told, especially by this dictatorship that we have in place presently, especially in from the media. I mean, the media is mainstream media especially, is completely bought and paid for. It's controlled by very powerful structures, very powerful families, people with an awful lot of money. So the media can't say what they maybe would say if they had true freedom, but instead are forced by the powers that be to have to report things as they're being told. So the information we get from mainstream media, a tremendous amount of that is a lie. And an awful lot of us know this, and though there are quite a few alternative news outlets on the internet, some of those aren't very legitimate either. So it really becomes a matter of being able to go down through information that talks about both sides of an issue, for example, and you can eventually get to some element of truth based on as much information as you can possibly digest. You will eventually find the truth. And that's been my modus operandi, really going through my life, and I find, especially now in my 50s, I read as much as I can about really any particular issue going on, and especially things that anybody should be able to understand as being something that would affect history, human existence, human health, human prosperity, and on and on. Let's get back to this Trump situation. It's amazing to read about how certain people are wishing that Donald Trump would have to take a bullet. So I mean, they're hoping that he's going to get shot. He's going to be murdered, assassinated. And I sit back and I see news stories about that, and there are video clips of these people who go out into the streets of the U.S. and they bring a camera crew, and they'll walk up to various people, doesn't matter where, usually it's on college campuses, because they're trying to gauge the intelligence level, the schooling levels, educational levels of these younger people in colleges and things, and they ask about these types of things, what they think about Donald Trump, and these people just blurt out that they wish that he'd be murdered. And I sit back and I wonder how the hell we got to this point in this country where this type of mentality is so pervasive. It's a very interesting thing to have watched politics for a long time, which I have. I was born in early 60s. I lived through, although I was young, I remember, actually do remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I remember when Robert Kennedy was assassinated. I remember when Martin Luther King was assassinated, and many others. And I remember how people grieved. I remember how big a deal it was. And to see how affected people were by the deaths of such great people as the Kennedys, and they had their faults, there's no question about it, but the reasoning behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy, for example, there are, I'm sure, different reasons, but we know that he believed in bucking the system. We know that he didn't want the Federal Reserve Bank to print money for the United States. He wanted to bring the printing presses back to Congress, to be, quote, controlled by Congress. And the Federal Reserve Bank, for any of you out there who don't know this, but it is not actually a U.S. bank. It is a foreign bank that was brought here back in 1913, I believe. And the Federal Reserve Bank doesn't have the interests of the United States at heart. They don't care about us. They don't care about anything other than making money. So the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, these types of families back in the early 1900s, were able to coerce the United States government to allow them to bring in the Federal Reserve Bank. So the Federal Reserve Bank has an awful lot of power, and they print money, for example. And when laws are passed in Congress and money needs to be spent, they go to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve prints the money, gives it to the United States government, and the U.S. government then has to pay the money back with interest to the Federal Reserve. Well, people like Kennedy, and it's even said that the reason that Abraham Lincoln was murdered was because he too said that he didn't want the Federal Reserve or any other bank, that the Federal Reserve wasn't around at the time, but he didn't like the idea of banks loaning money to the U.S. and that he wanted to print, have the our government print its own money. So I think there's an element of truth. I'd have to read up more about that, but I've read enough about the assassination of Lincoln, and I don't think there's any question that it had to do with his choices of the wars that were going on at the time. And anyway, fast forward to Kennedy gets assassinated for something like wanting to take the control of the money supply away from banks, and on and on. And that was a horrific thing. You can go back and you can go on YouTube or wherever. You can find an awful lot of information about Kennedy's assassination, YouTube videos, and just tremendous amount of information out there about that assassination. And you come to understand how much that affected the people of this country, the world for that matter. I mean, Kennedy was a, he may have been a womanizer and all that stuff, but when you look at his interests, he was very much empathetic toward good people in this world, good people in the United States. And he wanted to make this a great country, and he made some mistakes. He pissed off some people when it came to the Bay of Pigs in Cuba. So he had enemies out there, no question about it. But I do believe that a tremendous amount of reasoning behind why he was assassinated really has to do with the fact that he wanted to get rid of the foreign banks from being in this country, lending this country money. There's a huge power structure out there, very powerful, and they make sure they get their way. And we'll be talking a lot more about that. And as a matter of fact, we just had the what I consider the murder of Tony Scalia, Supreme Court Justice Scalia. He was definitely murdered. We'll talk about that more too, but he was a very conservative voice on the Supreme Court. Many times he was the one to sway a vote one way or the other. He was the one vote that really tipped the balance of power in the Supreme Court toward being very liberal, very leftist, socialist, fascist. With his death, we are going to see a radical shift toward Obama policy. And we've seen quite a shift toward Obama policy, but the Supreme Court in particular has been a thorn in Obama's side. And now that they were able to murder Scalia and get him out of the way, now Obama, of course, gets to put in a Supreme Court justice of his choosing, which he did with Sotomayor and Kagan, both of whom are socialist at best, fascist at worst. And we will see Obama policy come to fruition soon. And any of you folks out there who believe in Obama and think he's doing a good job and that he's helping people and that he's doing good by the world, you really have something coming as far as a stark realization. Recognize that what I am going to speak in my radio shows is truth, that he is a despicable, anti-American person who ended up in the White House, didn't deserve to be there. He does not have a birth certificate. He is not an American, and we don't have to go down that path. He's a Muslim, though he claims to be a Christian. and he hates this country. He hates the prosperity here. He hates freedom. And there's a lot more than I'm going to say about him. I won't say it now. I think I'm in too mellow mood. I had too nice a day today to go off in a rant on this guy, but I will definitely speak my mind about this thing, is all I can call him right now. So I'm actually holding off from swearing too much. I like to swear. I don't do it intentionally, and I don't do it in a wrong fashion, if that's the way to put it. I'll say the word fuck, and it's just very natural to me. And I've stated in my descriptions, in my shows, that if wording such as that offends anybody out there, then by all means, turn my program off. There's no need to sit back and have any kind of a reaction toward me, calling me names or telling me I shouldn't be able to speak or whatever. I'm a free market capitalist. I think capitalism is remarkable as long as it's done correctly, and I don't think that we've had really any true capitalism in this country. Maybe 100 years, a little bit. But we don't have a whole lot of freedoms now. And that brings up just a very interesting conversation I'll get into in time about Congress. You think about some of these people who've been in Congress, they stay in the House for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years, some of them. And they just sit on their asses and do nothing but try to figure out what new laws they can impose on top of all the other ones they already have imposed on us. Laws and regulations. I joke with friends about what it must be like at times where they're maybe sitting in Congress and there's pretty much dead silence because nobody can think of any new law to come up with because they every law they could possibly think of. And then somebody stands up and says, "Eureka, let's make it illegal for people to talk on their cell phones while they're driving in their cars." Everybody jumps up and applauds and they pass the law. Congress, a couple of days ago, just passed another Monsanto Protection Act. And they stuck it into a massive, what's called a massive environmental bill, which I guess we have to pass in order to find out what's in it, Pelosi would say. But anybody who doesn't know who Monsanto is, Monsanto is a very, very evil company. And they are altering the DNA of our food, our plants. And when we eat this food, it can make us very, very sick. It's altering the DNA in our bodies. And it gets much deeper than that. But the worst part about Monsanto is there are farmers out in the world who don't want to have to use their seeds but get sued because they end up having pollen from the crops of a farmer across the street who does use Monsanto. And that pollen floats over onto another farmer's property and pollinates the crops with Monsanto DNA. And these farmers end up growing crops that have Monsanto's DNA in them. And Monsanto finds out about it, and they end up suing the farmers, even though the farmers didn't ask to have the Monsanto DNA in their crops in the first place. So they end up taking farmers' land, literally. They put farmers out of business, and I could go on and on. They're quite the evil corporate machine. You think about any company out in the world that's willing to do something like that, you have to look at them and recognize there's something wrong with this picture. And this permeates much more than Monsanto. There's so many other companies involved with very, very dark, evil types of things, and they're not looking for our best interests at heart. They don't care about us. They want our money, and they want to control us, and they want to have everything and have us have nothing. So anyway, good part of my show will be about this corporate fascism. Look up fascism if you don't know what it is. F-A-S-C-I-S-M. These people in government right now are fascists. They believe that a select group of people at the top, the powerful people, should have all the money and the wealth, and they should be able to control the rest of the people on the planet. It's a little more detailed than that, but in a nutshell, that's what they espouse. E-S-P-O-U-S-E, look it up. It's what their interests are. So anyway, we live in a very interesting world, and my radio show is going to be, in large part, my talking about things that I know about, just insane things that maybe the average person doesn't know about. And I have certain intentions by doing this program. One, of course, is to impart information to people, tell people about certain events or whatever maybe they didn't know about, to bring up some historical facts that really can help us understand the world we live in today. And I think the main goal of my doing this radio program is to be able to inspire people to open their minds. We've all been sucked into the Matrix. If you've ever seen the movie The Matrix, you know what I'm talking about. There's a system that's been put in place, has been in place for a long time, that makes you think, do, and say what other people in the world want you to think, do, and say. And it's real. It's just turn on the television, for example, and you can watch pretty much any television program. And in between television show breaks, you get all these pharmaceutical commercials. And they just indoctrinate us all to think that if we have a headache, we should take a pill. We have an ingrown nail, we should take a pill. We're losing our teeth, take a pill. Losing your hair, take a pill. So we're taught to buy, we're taught to believe mainstream media. An example of that is the Sandy Hook shooting, supposed shooting. I can attest to the fact that I've done a tremendous amount of research on that whole news story. That wasn't really a news story. There was no shooting at Sandy Hook. I have the proof. I know people who have done very deep research. And it's no different than 9/11. We're told a particular thing about 9/11, the mainstream media, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, all these fucking pricks. And they tell us how it all went down, and how it was some haphazard terrorist guys who were bored sitting around their hometowns in the Middle East. They got tired and they decided that they were going to go over to the United States, take a couple weeks of flight training, and then they were going to go fly their planes. They were going to hijack big commercial airliners and fly them into buildings and such things. And I admit, early on, I fell for it pretty much hook, line, and sinker. But I sure as hell have learned about how wrong I was to have gone down that path. I admit I voted for George Bush the first time in 2000. I regret that. I did not vote for him the second time. I did not vote at all the second time. And I started to wake up at that point. And I sure as shooting didn't vote for Obama. I don't think very much of that guy, and I'll be talking an awful lot about him. But anyway, just a quick point about 9/11. I mean, if you look at how the whole story played out, and there was supposedly, I mean, you can look at these planes, supposed planes flew into the buildings, and it's all realistic, and you can look at it and say, well, maybe that really did happen, whatever. I don't believe that at all, but hey, I can understand why some people would still think that the official story was real. But you have to look at nuances in different situations. You look for things that don't make any sense, and then you have to stop and look at it, pull yourself out of the middle of all the excitement and the drama, the emotion. Look at things objectively. And if you do that with 9/11, you can look at something like the supposed plane crash in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That was the fourth plane, supposedly, that was hijacked. First two went into the World Trade Towers. The third one went into, supposedly, the Pentagon. And then a fourth plane was brought down by these terrorists and crashed into a hole in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But if you look at any of the footage, any of the pictures from Shanksville, there are no plane parts anywhere. There are no body parts anywhere. There's no luggage. There's no clothing. There are no passports. Nothing. Any other plane crash in history that's been recorded, pictures taken, videos, whatever, there will always be a wheel somewhere or an engine or a part of a wing or body parts or luggage or whatever. You'll always see debris. And there was no debris at all in Shanksville. And not only that, there was no debris from airplanes. If you think about it, and I actually just thought about this, I don't recall ever hearing about this necessarily, but when they went through all the rubble, all the debris from the World Trade Towers falling, they did fall. I'm not trying to say that that didn't happen, but the way they were taken down was not a couple of planes commandeered by some crazy Middle Eastern guys who took their commands from somebody else and took down these buildings. But so many people went through all the debris from the World Trade Towers, and they picked pieces up of the all the wreckage from the buildings, and they took it away in buckets, one piece at a time. And reportedly, they found people's body parts. They found hands and feet and such things. But I never heard of anybody finding a plane part, which is interesting. Again, there were no wheels anywhere. There were no engines. Anyway, I don't mean to dwell on 9/11. I mean, that is just another one of these incredibly wacky types of things that happened that we're all supposed to believe really happened. And another very interesting one was Oklahoma City bombing. I was reading some information about that not too long ago. I was listening also to a radio show about that, and there were additional bombs in the Oklahoma City building, the Murrah building, that were removed after the first one or two, whatever, went off. And I've read a tremendous amount of information about how impossible it was for Timothy McVeigh to have used a fertilizer bomb, for crying out loud, that could have caused the amount of damage that building sustained. I remember actually watching, as soon as the bombing had happened, they had I believe it was CNN, had a helicopter flying over the bomb site. And you could just look at the building and realize that had to have been on par with something the United States military would have done. There's no way a fertilizer bomb could have done that amount of damage. Just no way. There's no way. It's not even worth a conversation. Timothy McVeigh may very well have been involved with that whole situation, but it did not go down the way that we were told. It was not a fertilizer bomb in a truck. It's just, that whole thing is just impossible. And if any of you remember, don't, the ATF, Alcohol Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, had an office in that building. And they all, for some reason, called in sick that day. No, not one of the ATF agents was in that building that day that bomb went off. But if you remember, there was a daycare center there, and a bunch of young children got slaughtered. And if you look at how that must have gone down, you realize that there had to have been government agents, FBI, military, whoever, involved with that whole thing. And it's even said that Bill Clinton gave the okay to do that because, from what I understand, the truthers or the Tea Partiers or conservatives, whatever you want to call them, were making strides as far as gaining power in Oklahoma. And they wanted to put a stop to that. The U.S. did, military, Bill Clinton. And so they set that bomb off and then blamed it on Timothy McVeigh and said that he was a militia guy. He's one of these homegrown terrorists. And they said, we have to stop these people. So they pulled off a stunt like that, slaughtered a bunch of innocent children, and made everybody believe that it was a radical militia guy like Timothy McVeigh who did it. And then that, in turn, got a lot of people to turn away from militia groups. There's starting to be a lot of sympathy for militias at the time. People have been getting very, very concerned about the power of the government. And that is true today, probably more so than ever. So that'll be a big part of what I'll talk about in my show here. So anyway, I'm looking forward to doing probably a couple shows a week. Eventually, I'll allow callers. I actually look forward to sparring with people. And what has to be understood is that for some reason, I don't know why it happened, but I happen to be one of a select few, I guess, who remember an awful lot about history. I've connected an awful lot of dots, and I'll talk about that, these types of connections of people like the Clintons and the Bush family and many others, how they all tie into the Saudi royal family, who are believed to have been involved with the Israelis and others and causing 9/11 to happen. And anyway, there's going to be an awful lot of information that I believe is truth. I don't tend to talk about things. If I don't know about something, I'll admit it. If I believe in something and it's only a belief, I will say that it is my belief that this is true, whatever I'm talking about. If I know for a fact that something is true, I will state that I know that it's a fact that something is true. I'm very fair. I consider myself a pragmatist. I'm very practical about my mindset. If something makes sense, you do it. If it doesn't, you don't. Congress, for example, this is a classic case in point, and I'll talk more about this type of thing, but there, if you look at something like insider trading, for those who don't know what insider trading is, it means if you get a tip from somebody who works at a company, say IBM, and the person who works at IBM happens to know that IBM is coming out with a secret new computer that's going to make them billions of dollars, and their stock price is going to rise an awful lot. Well, if you decide to, you hear that information, and you go out and buy IBM stock knowing that secret, and you get caught doing that, that's considered insider trading. And that is a felony in the eyes of the government, and they will throw you in prison for a good number of years for simply trying to make money. However, they passed a law that allows them in Congress to engage in insider trading legally. That's how they make all their money. If you look at any one of those people in Congress, any one of them. They're all incredibly wealthy. Nancy Pelosi, for example, I forget the exact numbers, but she went into Congress when she first got elected, and she and her husband were worth $3 million or something, maybe more, maybe less, but you get the idea. And anyway, she's worth something like $75 million now. And you have to look at that and wonder, how do you make that much money making $150,000 salary per year in Congress? It's because Congress passes laws that determine whether companies are going to make money or not, like IBM. So if Congress hears that IBM wants to sell a new type of computer, and say Congress has to make a decision whether they're going to let IBM sell these computers or not, if they decide to let IBM sell the computers, IBM is going to make a lot of money and their stock price is going to go way up. Well, Congress, knowing that, will buy a bunch of IBM stock, and then they'll pass the law that allows IBM to make a lot of money, and the stock price goes up, and everybody in Congress who bought IBM stock makes a ton of money. And that's what they do. They just sit around. They're not doing as much as you might think they are. They're not doing as much to help us as a nation as you might think they are. They are corrupt. They are greedy. They are filthy. They lie, every single one of them. Now, there are going to be one or two here and there who are a little bit more honest together. They're all in it to get wealthy. They are sick with power and control, and they sit in these buildings for 50, 60 years, some of them, while the rest of us are busting our asses paying higher and higher taxes because Congress says that we have to pay higher and higher taxes. We become poorer, they become more wealthy. And that's tyranny, and that's exactly how kingdoms in the past got overthrown, and the French Revolution, again, very similar, just the inequity between the rich and the poor, and that's exactly what's happening, or has happened, for that matter, in this nation. So anyway, it's fun to go back in time, and I'll be talking about an awful lot of events in the past. I'll talk about the Marine Barracks, U.S. Marine Barracks, that was bombed in Beirut back in 1980s, 82, I believe, under Reagan, and how that, I believe, is a false flag. And I'll talk about Vietnam. I'll talk about assassinations. I'll talk about the protests back in the 60s and 70s against the Vietnam War, state college shooting by the National Guard of college students. I'll talk about music, talk about the Illuminati, chemtrails, vaccines, fluoride in the water, how corrupt the FDA and the EPA are. Talk about Fukushima. I'll talk a lot about Obama. I'll talk about things like the Horizon oil spill down in the Gulf of Mexico years ago. I'll be talking about a tremendous number of things, historical events, like I said, and people, places, and things. So anyway, it's I was talking about the Matrix a little while ago, and the Matrix is a pretty amazing thing to recognize. And once you're in it, you don't know you're in it. You just go about your day, and you see a billboard, and it subconsciously tells you to go out and spend money on whatever the billboard's for, food or cigarettes or whatever. And we have all these messages from advertising, marketing in magazines or on the internet or billboards or signs in stores or whatever. They're just everything everywhere is designed to make us not understand who we are. It makes us do things that we wouldn't normally necessarily do if we didn't have this barrage of information coming at us all the time. I mean, people go out and just spend money they don't have. They see a car commercial, and there are things in the car commercial that subliminally get a person to say, hey, I can afford that car. They're saying I don't need any money down, 0% interest for 6 years, And it doesn't matter how bad my credit is, I can buy a car. Well, if you lived in a practical world, you would not buy that car. By all means, you would look at it and recognize that you're, say, you're not making very much money, or you're out of work or whatever, say your credit's not very good. You should recognize that you shouldn't buy a car. But the way they advertise and do things to us, it's very easy to look at it and think, well, they're telling me I can afford a car, so I can afford a car, therefore I want a car. This goes on around us, and it doesn't matter. They can coerce you into listening to music that they want you to listen to that has all kinds of violent or sexual messages in it. They can get you to buy just bullshit food, candy, potato chips, Doritos, packaged foods, fake foods, frozen foods, all kinds of things that have preservatives. They have names that you at times can't pronounce. They got things in them that you don't have any idea what they are. There are things in these products that cause cancer, that can cause all kinds of health problems, and yet they get away with advertising and selling these things. The government is complicit in it. They allow this stuff to happen. Overall, really, as far as government goes, there is no leadership at this point. There's nobody standing up saying enough is enough. I mean, look at Obamacare. There's a battle that raged on for a short amount of time where Congress was accused of not taking Obamacare, not accepting Obamacare for themselves. And there were a lot of lawyers in different groups who fought that and said, if we have to take bullshit Obamacare, you do too. Well, the way they Congress passed the laws, they get the supreme, remarkably awesome health care programs. They get to live until they're 216 years old on average, and we die at 65 years old because we're forced into just bullshit health care. Been listening to some people talk about the different health care programs that are available, the Obamacare types of things, and it's pretty pathetic what we've all ended up with. And here we were supposedly under this dictator Obama, told us how great this was all going to be and how it was going to rein in costs in the healthcare industry. Costs are flying through the ceiling. Costs are higher than they've ever been. There are health insurers going out of business. Health insurers are dropping Obamacare support because they're losing money. One of them was, it's called Health Unity, I think, something like that. It's one of the biggest health insurers in the country. Last year alone, they lost close to $1 billion and said that they were going to drop the Obama exchanges, that they, Obamacare exchanges. They weren't going to push Obamacare anymore. They were going to start selling the health care policies they had been selling prior to being forced, which is what Obama did, being forced into having to sell the types of policies that Obamacare says that they have to sell. So all in all, it's a pretty scary world. It's a pretty frustrating world. That's a big part of what this program will be about, is my take on it. I don't know everything by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a very humble guy, and I'm not going to try to talk about things I don't know anything about. I'm not going to try to coerce any of you to believe what I say anytime I talk about anything. And you don't believe it, you can go and look it up. Like I said earlier, if you really want to get to the truth in any matter, you have to absorb as much of both sides of an argument as you can before you can even remotely try to come up with an answer that makes sense, that's truthful. Because of the internet, because of computers, everybody has the opportunity to get online and spew lies. I believe in chemtrails, for example. I know they're real. I will talk extensively about chemtrails. But an example of where I'm coming from as far as trying to find out truth. If you Google chemtrails, the first web page that comes up about chemtrails is Wikipedia. And I will tell you that Wikipedia is not the number one website for people to go to learn about chemtrails. Google results are supposed to show at the very top of the page, the first page when you do a Google search. The first website that shows up is supposed to be the one that has had the most hits, the most visits by people. But the government and Google have decided to manipulate these results so that the results you get when you do a Google search sometimes, if not many times, if not most of the time, will not be accurate as far as the real top number of pages visited. So Wikipedia will be the first web page you come across if you Google chemtrails. And Wikipedia will tell you that people who believe in chemtrails are conspiracy theorists, which is a very convenient name to call people. And they will tell you chemtrails are fake and that we're nuts. And I will tell you we are not nuts. We know what we're talking about, and these people are lying. So you can look at that, and you can read as much as you can, and you'll find out that chemtrails are real. You have to. The information, there's too much proof out there. But you have to read both sides to every single item, every story, every event, to find out what the truth is about any particular thing. So anyway, again, my name is Dan Cherry. I'm going to be doing these shows as often as I can. I think I'm really going to enjoy being able to speak my mind on items I think I'm going to, hopefully, anyway, get people to think differently, whether you believe me or not, whether you have an interest in an event or not. All I want to do is put my voice out in the world. Even if nobody ever listens to me, I'll still do these shows and I will talk about things and about my views of things. And I really have, I think, a unique way of looking at things. I'm not trying to force you to believe anything. That's not at all where I want to go with this. I'm trying to open up people's minds. We've been taught to be very, very closed-minded in our culture. We're taught not to speak our minds. We're taught to be quiet, to be afraid, to fear, not to be ourselves, to not sleep very well, to stress, to take jobs we don't like, to stay in jobs we don't like. We think we get to truly vote for a president. We think our elections are fair and real, and they aren't. And on, there's so many lies going on. And the higher in power people are, the bigger the lies they're able to get away with telling. So I'm here to start cutting through some of the bullshit because there's way too much bullshit. So anyway, I think I'm getting real close to the end of my show here. I've enjoyed doing this, and I'll be back. Hope you all enjoyed the show, and look forward to at some point speaking with some of you. Anyway, you all have a great evening. Again, it is March 6th, 2016. Have a good night.